What is it that you do when life seems to be unbearable? It doesn't really matter what your status of life is. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter really what you say. It doesn't matter about anything. The reality is this, that no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter who you represent, there's going to be difficulties from time to time. Does that make any sense? There's going to be struggles. There's going to be upside downs. There's going to be times that our knees are going to be very sore from the additional praying. There's going to be times in life that you and I are going to sit back and say, you know what, this just doesn't seem fair. Have you ever thought within yourself, saying, you know what, with all the things that's going on, why does it seem like bad things happen to good people and good things seems to happen to bad people? Have you ever thought about that? And then sometimes in life we may just sit and wonder, why is all of this taking place? I want to bring a lesson to you today from the Holy Word of God as we talk about what can we do when life seems to bring us down. Because there are times in everybody's life as we are marching toward, or hopefully we're marching toward, the righteousness of God, that many times there are things that will bring us down, things that will try to separate us, if I may, from the love of God. We need to understand and always remember that there is nothing and no one that can separate us from the love of God except us. Do we understand that? It is us who separates ourselves from God. And even with that, even if we turn our back on God, He still loves us. That doesn't mean that He's going to accept us into the kingdom of heaven, but He loves us. And as long as there's breath in our body and we're willing to fully repent in a serious repentance and come to Him, the Lord will forgive His people. Does that make sense? So let me ask you the question again. What is it that we do when life seems to suck the very breath out of your lungs? I know that there are things that happen in people's lives and we don't know what we're going to do next. You ever been in that situation? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm at wit's end. Has anyone ever expressed that? I'm at wit's end. I feel like just throwing in the towel. So perhaps we've all been in that type of situation. And life does have its battles. Sometimes life seems to be what you and I would describe as upside down. Maybe it's the loss of a spouse. How devastating that is and that would be. Maybe it's a report of some dreaded illness that's come your way that, you know what, you were worried to death about and then the doctor gives you the news. Maybe it's the loss of a child. I can't even fathom how difficult that would be. Maybe it's financial setbacks that you're going through right now in your life and it's got you worried, it's got you nervous, it's got you scared to death. Perhaps it's a marriage today that is in trouble, and perhaps that marriage isn't really what you thought it would be. Children that perhaps have grown up and now rejects the many things that you've taught them, and it appears that they are rejecting even Jesus Christ, and the feeling that you have behind that, the feeling of rejection, the feeling of disappointment. What do we do when we're faced with those type of difficulties? What do we do when you're in the middle of, maybe even it's really heart heavy on the heart, is church contention. Maybe contention within the body of believers. Maybe friendships that have went by the wayside. Maybe disappointments from folks that you really thought a lot of. Perhaps it's disappointments from our elected officials. Real life issues that sometimes will bring you down so badly that it literally hurts your heart. Has anyone ever hurt your heart? Has the things in life ever really truly hurt your heart? Well, what do we do in a situation like that? I believe that what a lot of people do, and sad as it is, we rebel, don't we? I'll get him if it's the... You see, so I wasn't alone in that. And you know what? I may forgive that person, but I will never forget that. So you see how difficult things can be and how sometimes the emotions of life can really grab us and maintain us and really hold our attention. Well, I want to convince you this morning by the Word of God that that is a tool that Satan is using to try to get your attention off God and your dependency off God and place it upon yourself. If we, brothers and sisters, try to direct our own steps, I promise you, according to the Scriptures, that we're going to fail. Do you believe that? It is not, Jeremiah 10:23, the Bible said, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. That old prophet there was an awfully smart fella. He knew that we didn't have it within us. And it has been proven throughout the Bible that those who tried to direct their own steps, it was an absolute disaster, wasn't it? Wasn't it? On this side too, wasn't it? Okay, so we want to remember that we cannot direct our own steps. So what is it that we do? I invite you to head over to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, we're going to look at chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And I want to show you some things that we can do. So when we're up against these things, I'm convinced that we ought to remember these passages of Scripture. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Now I want you to go with me on this. "Let your requests be known to" who? Let your requests be known to God. That means what to Him? Pray to Him. Yes or no? Let God know. But some may say, "Well, Jerry, He already knows." Yes, He does. But He wants us and requires us and commands us and demands us to pray unto Him. You remember what He said over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without what? Ceasing. You remember what He said in Luke 18:1? Man ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, let's just keep going. Go back with me again to 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by and with, let your requests be known to God." And watch what happens here. When you do that, watch verse 7 here. "And when you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," what's it going to do? What else? Through who? Through Christ Jesus. Do you like that? So you see right here, this one passage of Scripture, Brother Larry, we can see the antidote to some of our problems, can't we? We can see the cure, if I may, to what life brings us. Life brings us difficult things. You know, and I'm convinced that we need to just go and stick with what the Bible says right here. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," it's going to guard your heart and your mind. Who's it going to do that through? Christ Jesus. So, folks, seriously, what do you do when you find yourselves in one of those very difficult, very trying situations? What do you do? Where do we go? Who do we trust? We've all uttered perhaps the words, "You can't trust anybody anymore." Have anybody ever heard those words? You just can't seem to trust anybody. If you don't want to say it, don't say it. Isn't that right? But you know what? I'm telling you today that you can trust Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. The good news that I have for you today is God is an awesome God. Jesus Christ, His Son. We can trust in Him, can't we? So what do we do? How do we just continue going? Can we make it through these difficult times? Do y'all think we can? Does everybody besides Cynthia think we can make it through these difficult times? All right. And I want to show you a passage of Scripture that shows that. Staying right there where you're at, Philippians chapter 4, drop down to verse 13. If you go with me, we'll leave on time. If not, oh well. I ate two bowls of Life cereal this morning, and I blended my Cinnamon Life and my regular Life cereal, so I'm full of life. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Chris? And let me tell you, those were heaping bowls. So I'm good if y'all good, so I'll probably answer me. Okay, so let's go to Philippians 4:13. Is Philippians right after the book of Ezekiel, yes or no? No! All right. So Philippians 4:13, take a look and see what the Bible says. So how is it, Cynthia, how is it, Dana, that I can get through my difficult times? Teresa, here's how. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Thank you, Courtney. All things through Christ who strengthens me. So listen, there have been many folks, sadly to say, many individuals that have went to their graves feeling defeated in this life and shouldn't have. Sadly, we see it, and I'm in the funeral home business and the mortuary business, and I see it all the time. People that end their life because they feel like there's no victory. They feel as if life has really pulled them down, and they can't seem to rebound. Sadly, when you talk to the family and you find out what their faith is, and they say, well, they didn't really have any. There is no more of a lost feeling in the world than being lost and away from God. Amen. So, you know what? Let's hold to the teachings of the Bible. When life seems to bring us down, title of our lesson today, when life brings us down, let God raise us up. Amen? When life is putting us down on our knees, that's where God wants us to begin with. We need to be on our knees. We ought today, everybody in this building ought to have real sore knees right now. If your life's not in bad shape, mine is. So I need you to be praying for me, amen? If my life is doing pretty good, some of you out there, it's not going so well. So my knees need to be sore for praying for you. Do you get the picture? We ought to be praying one for the other. Why? Because we love each other. Do we really? I hope that we do. The Bible tells us if we don't love one another, then the love of the Father's not in us. Does that make sense? It has to. The Bible says it. So the reality is if we don't love our brother and even our enemy, we're not going to heaven. Do you understand? So praying for each other, lifting each other up in prayer, edifying and encouraging each other, that is part of our Christian responsibility. We talk quite often about the many blessings that we have as a Christian. And I said from the pulpit so many times, with these blessings also comes responsibilities. Do you understand that they're not free? these preachers that stand up here and lie to you all the time, oh, to come to the cross, it's free. Liar, it's not free. Cost God his son, cost Jesus his life. Well, besides that, it's free. Liar, because the Bible says if you deny, if you desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his what? How often? And follow me. Let me tell you something. Me, Jerry Ladd, because I'm a selfish person inside, seriously speaking, I don't want to deny myself. I like what I like. Does that make any sense? So when it calls, when I have to put that, and when I pick up that cross, sometimes that cross is real heavy. Well, what's involved in doing that? Putting Jesus first. Well, I don't want to put Jesus first all the time. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to put him first. Isn't that right? Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God and his, and all these things shall be. So don't be asking God for all these things, all these avenues, all these things that's going to help us get through life if we're not putting Jesus first and foremost. Does that make any sense so far? I agree today that every one of us have a story to tell. I could start up here and we could work our way around this auditorium and everybody could tell us a story, a true story about something in life, and probably would cry at each of them, wouldn't you think? But we can also go around, and we don't have to be full of gloom and doom. We can also talk about things that God has done for us. We can talk about things that would encourage and lift each other up as well, right? But the reality is we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have mountains and valleys. Isn't that right? Well, when we're in the valley, it's easy to be praying when we're on the mountain. It's easy to be with a smile on our face when we're on top of the mountain. It is easy when everything seems to be going great to be, oh, thank you, God. We appreciate you so much. But when we're in that valley, and then we feel like we've been betrayed, we feel like, well, God, have you forgotten me? Here I am. I'm in the valley. What happened? You're not by yourself. Do you remember what Jesus felt while he was on the cross? Father, why hast thou? That's exactly right, sister. Why hast thou forsaken me? Even Jesus felt alone. See, you see, when you're in that valley, the valley of difficulties, the valley of challenges, the valley of struggles, the valley of marriage issues, the valley of children rebelling, the valley of church contention, the valley of health issues. Are you getting the picture? I understand you might be in that valley of contention, but there is a God that is awesome there with you. Do you understand? And with that, you are being strengthened. Even though it seems like a setback, as I heard from another preacher, it's not a setback, it's a setup for the next walk in life, isn't it? So we've got to be sure that we're trusting in God. So what do we do when life really brings us down? We turn it over to God, don't we? Y'all didn't say that like you meant it at all. We turn it over to the Lord, amen? All right, very good. So we have a story to tell. We know we have struggles. We know we have difficulties. So let's look at our lesson this morning and see, according to God's word, what we should be doing when the storms of life blow our way. And not just when the storms of life blow our way, but we should be doing this at all times. The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. When life really brings us down, here's what we need to do. We need to deepen our prayer life. Does that make sense? I know that as a Christian, we're always praying. Probably are. But we can deepen that prayer life. Does that make sense? All right. So when times are tough and we feel as if all of our strength has left us, we need to remember that there is no greater strength in all of the world or anything in the world than that we get from our Heavenly Father. The strength that we get when we are praying and relying and trusting in Him. God knows what it's like, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. God knows what it's like to be in pain. Think about the pain that He endured when He had to send Jesus here. Think about the pain that He endured when Jesus was suffering on that cruel cross at Calvary for sin, not His, but ours. For guilt, not His, but ours. Are you getting this or not? So I want you to think about what God must have felt like at that particular point. You know He felt separation, didn't He? That was His son. You know He felt agony. I can't stand it. Jerry Jr. is 39 years old. He can get a cold and I panic. You know, like, man, I hope it's okay. You need to get to the doctor. He's like, Dad, I took NyQuil. It doesn't matter. You need to get to a doctor. Make sure it's nothing else. I panic. Think about what God must have felt knowing that Jesus did what He did for sin and not His, but ours. I think about how God knows what it's like to be in pain. Pain from losing a loved one as He lost His only begotten son. Again, for sinners like you and me. I think about what Rob alluded to a little bit while ago when he's doing the Lord's Supper about John chapter 3, verse 16, where the Bible says, for God so that He gave His that whosoever believes in him but have what? All right, so we don't have to perish, do we? So that in itself is extremely encouraging, actually. I don't have to die spiritually, amen? Though this physical body is going to die one day, I don't have to die spiritually. Thank you, God, for that. Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. So folks, please know firsthand that God understands what it's like to have the pain. Do you believe that? He knows what it's like to be rejected. How many people in our world today is rejecting God? A lot of them, aren't they? He knows what it's like for someone to say, God, I love you, and for them to turn his back on him. This building today should be packed. This building today should have chairs folded out here. This building today, we should have people complaining, saying the building's not big enough. We should be having people coming to the leaders of the congregation saying, what in the world is wrong with you people? This building should be mowed down, and there should be a three-story building and services day and night, shouldn't it? That's the way it should be, because that's how much we should be loving God, amen? But we're not. But look at the building today, and look at all the empty pews. Yet, go to the parks today and see how full they are. Go out there to the lake, see how many people's out there fishing. Go to these camping sites, see how many people's there. Are you getting the picture? How much do we really love God? Do we really want God to deliver us? Do we really want God to help us when we're down and out? Then serve God in good times and bad. Does that make sense? For two people, it makes sense. Does that make sense? Okay, just want to make sure we're together. So, God knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to deal with pain. He knows what it's like to handle disappointments or have to go through disappointment. And God knows how it feels to hurt deeply. I think that's why he had Jesus to say what he did over in John chapter 14 down in verse 1. When Jesus was about to leave the presence of the disciples, he had done made friends with them. He had already performed miracles. They knew that he was indeed the master teacher. And now he's announced to them that I've got to go. Well, these disciples were acting just like Chris and myself and Cynthia and Velma. They were hurt. They were saddened over the news that they had just received. But what did Jesus say in John 14, 1? He's explained to them, he's already said, hey, I got to go. I'm not here for my will. I'm doing the will of who? My Father who sent me. But what is he telling them in John 14, 1? He says, let not your... And he gives them what... He tells them what to do. What does he say for them to do? Believe. And then believe also in me. Well, what do you think that brings? It brings comfort, doesn't it? It gives them comfort, it gives them strength, and it gives them courage. We can see all types of things that epitomizes. So John 14, 1, remember that. I also have to think about 1 Peter chapter 5, down in verse 7, where the scripture says, casting all your cares upon him. Who's the him? Very good. For he, why? What do we cast them on him for? Thank you, Bobby, because he cares for you. Folks, that passage is about as clear as anybody could ever make it. Cast your concerns and your cares upon him. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 18. And I want us to consider what the Lord revealed to a fellow named Jehoshaphat here. We're going to talk about for just a moment how he is convincing Jehoshaphat. He's revealing some things to him, and he wants Jehoshaphat to understand this battle that you're up against, this war that you're up against, the situation you're up against. It's not yours. God says it's whose? It's mine. He's going to handle it. So the war that you're up against today, it's not your war. Amen? I like that. Two people really appreciated that. It's not your war. It's whose war? God's. So will God fight our battles for us? Absolutely. But we've got to stand firm. Will we have difficulties? Yes. Will we have a bloody nose? Yes. Will we have skinned knees? Absolutely. Will we at times have broken hearts? Absolutely. But who's on our side? God is with us. He's for us. Amen? All right. So let's take a look and see what's happening right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Be ready to help me on some names. It happened, well listen, it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against who? Jehoshaphat. Is that how you say that? All right, well, good enough. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude. Uh-oh, that means a great army of people, right? Uh-huh, what are they doing? They're coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazon, Tamar, which is Engedi, And Jehoshaphat feared. What did he do again? And Jehoshaphat did what? Say it, congregation. He feared. So was he scared? Was he nervous? Listen, Heather, just like sometimes I fear, just like sometimes I'm nervous, I'm terrified of things. Are y'all? Okay. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together and asked help from who? And from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? So are they questioning? Is he questioning God? That's a not questioning his authority, but saying, just kind of reminder, aren't you God? It'd be like a kid today saying, aren't you Dad? Aren't you the one's got to pay for my... Remember last week we talked about... Y'all missed this part, Courtney. People talk about, I'm going out and buy me some new Jordans. Y'all heard that before? I'm buying new Jordans. Well, last week we came up with something new. We're buying new lads. You like it? So, you know, these kids today that want to question, well, Dad, I did real good. Shouldn't you buy me Jordans? I think he's sitting there saying, Lord, isn't this you? Can't you... Can they really withstand you, God? Can't you handle this? Not questioning God's authority. He's questioning just as a reminder. God, aren't you this God? Have we ever done that? Pray, God, I know that you can handle this. God, why are we still going through this? Lord, I know this is difficult in my life. Lord, are you hearing my prayers? David in the book of Psalms said that many times, didn't he? Number seven. Are you not, give me the next two words. There it is. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They dwell in it and they built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we all stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple, and cry out to who? That word is you. Can you say that with me? They cry out to you. I'm talking about God. Very good. In our affliction, and your, watch this, and you will hear, and not only will you hear, you will what? You will save. And now here are the people, Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out to the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Can we see the mighty works of God? All right. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possessions, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are up on you. That right there, we could stop, couldn't we? Our eyes are focused on who? God. What did he just say? He knows that they can't handle this battle on their own, but with God, the battle is won, isn't it? You like that? Okay. 13, now Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children, they stood before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord called upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be nor because of this great multitude. Listen, watch this. For the battle is not yours, give it to me, but God's. I love that. This battle don't belong to you. This battle belongs to God. He's saying it belongs to me. So what is he really saying here, Chris? He's saying, Chris and Jerry, chill. We got this. I got this. I got your back as long as we're following God. Amen? All right. Tomorrow, let's go ahead and check this out. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz and will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness Jeril. You will not need, did I read that right? You will not need to fight. Is that what the Bible says? You will not need to fight in battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of who? The salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. And when they bowed before the Lord, the Bible said they was rebelling the Lord. thank you. They were worshiping the Lord. Why? Because with God, the battle was won. Amen? So the battles that we're up against, just like what he told Jehoshaphat, is the same thing he's telling us. The battle is not yours. The battle is his. You like that? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are blessed, aren't we? Because as faithful children of God, we are blessed with the avenue of prayer. Make sure that we're involved in that. John chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will," the Bible says, "he hears him." Is that right? So with that passage of Scripture in mind, be sure that we pray diligently to the Father. Pray for deliverance and for healing for ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Also pray for our enemies, right? No, we don't have to. No, we don't have to. You do not. I guess we do. So, I want us to remember that we don't have to deal with difficulties on our own, do we? And that's one of the beautiful blessings about being a Christian, about being a follower of Jesus Christ, is knowing who our captain is. Knowing who the captain is will certainly lead us through these wars, won't it? So the wars that we have in life, the difficulties that we face, make sure that we are praying to our Father above. I love what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 145, down in verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in what? In truth. Daniel, does anybody in this building ever heard of a guy named Daniel? Daniel's the one that got hit by a car near Shoney's at White Bridge Road in Charlotte. That is him? Okay, we'll read about that. That is in Shoney's chapter 2. So what happened with Daniel? Daniel was the one that was thrown in the oven, the fiery furnace. I was so scared. Yeah, that's him. But he was thrown into the what den? How much pain did he go through? You remember when that one lion, though, took his ear off and then, like, ate part of his eyeball and all that? And it was, like, mushy. And y'all remember that, kids? Remember this, mushy? Nothing happened to this. Nothing happened to Daniel, did it? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed," watch what he did. "He went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees." How many times? Three times that day. And what did he do? Actually, he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early years. He's done this. Jerry Jr., this isn't anything new. This is what he's done. This is what he's continuing to do. So did he continue his prayer life? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Now, I think we better hang out in the book of Psalms as well. I'm going to go over to Psalms 46. Do y'all like Psalms 46? Do y'all? All right, we'll hit that then. In Psalms 46, the Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help during our what?" 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I skipped it, but what does the Bible say there? Pray without ceasing. There's another passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think verse 11 or 12, that I'll get to a little bit later in time. That's Matt and Jerry's favorite passage. All right, and then Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, read that later today. So when life really gets us down, and we all know that it does from time to time, yes or no, be certain that we pray diligently to the Father. We need to be sure that we deepen that prayer life and stay in communication with Almighty God. The second point I want us to examine is this. When life really, really tries to bring us down, it's important that we associate with other Christians that can encourage us. Associate with other Christians that can encourage us. Misery loves. If you're associating with those on the outside of the body of Christ, I'm not saying to alienate yourself from those folks because they need to see your good example and be led to Christ. But if you're down and you're out, misery loves company. You'll get misdirected. We need to associate with others of the household of faith during our affliction. Amen? And during our difficulties. Folks, God has blessed each of us with people here upon this earth to cheer us on. Some people lie and say, "I don't need a cheerleader in life." Yes, you do. Everybody in this building needs somebody to walk up and say, "Good job." Everybody here needs somebody to say, "Thank you for your influence." Amen? Thank you for being a good dad or a good mom. Thank you for being a good brother and sister in Christ. Thank you for this and thank you for that. They don't need to be thanking you and me, and we don't need to be thanking others like we do God. Amen? But we should be edifying, lifting each other up, showing appreciation one for the other. You know how easy it is for me to take you for granted? You know how easy it is for you to take me for granted? You know how easy it is to take each other for granted? We shouldn't do that, should we? We should lift each other up as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I love what 1 John 1:7 says. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's a big thing there. We got fellowship with Jesus, and we've got fellowship with one another. Why? Because we've been added to the body of believers. Yes or no? We've got fellowship with one another. And here's a beautiful blessing. And the blood of Jesus Christ, what does it do? How much of our sin? 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. I love what Paul's talking about that to the church of Thessalonica. You remember what he's telling them? He said, you know, they were going through some challenging times as well. And he says, comfort each other with the things that I'm telling you. So I can't imagine what it would be like today not to have a church family. We often see people in distress. We see people in need. We see people that are really hurting spiritually. We see people that are hurting physically. Can you imagine what it'd be like not to have a church family? Not to have a place that you can call your own. Amen. That I belong to this family. That I'm part of this great family. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And having favor with all the people the Lord added to His church daily, those that are being what? Saved. Isn't it nice to be part of God's family? Amen. That is horrible. Two people said amen. Amen. All right. So we need to really show that we love being part of it. So when we're struggling with difficulties, when we're down and out, don't pull away from God. Don't begin to pout and go into phase three of your pouting process like I do when I don't get my way at home. Don't do that. Don't sulk, as Paul calls it. I'm not sulking. I'm mad because there's no ice cream. And so anyway, no sulking, but join hands with other Christians and let's lift each other up. Does that sound good? We get enough criticism in the world. We certainly don't need it here. Amen? The third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. When life really brings us down, I'm convinced that we can and should dig deeper in His Word. Does that make sense? We can and should dig deeper in His Word. I can be encouraged by you and you can be encouraged by me, but that can do nothing compared to what God's Word does for us. Amen? All right. Just want to make sure. I'll assure you that when times get tough, when life steps up and it kind of kicks us in the gut, there's no better weapon in all of the world than that of God's Word. How many times have you felt tired? How many times have you felt beat up? How many times have you felt like I just can't take it another moment? I mean, tired and worn out from life, and I'm just tired of what life has to offer. Many times people feel that way. If you've got to that point, perhaps you've overlooked the greatest invitation that one has ever been extended. First of all, on Wednesday night here, we've got a theme going on Wednesday night about slaughtering the giants. We're killing the giants. A lot of giants in our lives. Doubt, failure, disbelief, worry, anger. We've been talking about those things, things that I'm up against. So we've been talking about ways to slaughter those giants. One of the things that we have to do, actually, and I've got your brother on this all the time, Stephen, and I've got some other folks that are on our Wednesday night classes. The only way that we can ever make it through life by three words, what are they? Claim the Scriptures. Will you say that with me today? Claim the Scriptures. So take the Scriptures for what they are. It's the soul-saving Word of God, amen? Take the Scripture for what it is. It will lead you to that place called heaven. It will lead you to salvation. It will lead you in the paths of obedience. It'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So I think about Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. When Jesus says, come to me, all you labor and the heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. His burden, it's easy. Amen. So have we rejected and are we rejecting the greatest invitation that we've ever received? Jesus says, come to me. How do we go to Him? We dig deeper. I like what Paul told young Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word, brothers and sisters, gives us strength. Yes or no? All right. I think about Psalm 119 down in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. You know what I'm about to say again. Not only is it my meditation, it is my medication because I have to have it. I'm weak. You're not as weak as I am. If I miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I'm almost hell bound. Do you understand me? I am not a good person away from God. But with God, I know I'm going to be okay. But I've got to hold to His nail-scarred hands. I can't direct my own steps. I can't depend on myself. It wouldn't take a snap of a finger to have me back in trouble with the world. Do we understand that? Some would say, Jerry, you as a minister, you shouldn't be so transparent. I'm just being very brutally honest. The world has a strong lure. The world can offer a lot of things that can get our attention through our eyes, yes or no. 1 John 2:15 through 17, lust of the eyes, and lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those things are eventually going to pass away in the lust of it. But who does the will of God, the Bible says, abide forever. I choose that part. I want to abide forever. Amen? Not here upon this earth. I don't want any part of this. I'll take it till God calls me home, but I want that beautiful prepared place in heaven that we read about in John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many what? And Jesus says, I go there to prepare a place for you. Isn't that what He told us? Okay, very good. All right, so we can look at Psalm. We looked at Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love your laws. Meditation all day. 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Matter of fact, it's a light unto my what? Path. It's by your word that I know where to go. It's by your word I know what my next step is going to be. Do you like that? I love the passage over in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You're blessed when you do what God's calling you to do. You know why you're blessed? Because you're saved. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put trust in Him. And then John 17, 17. I know I'm flying. People still using the manual Bible. And you're like, where is he going? John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I love that passage of Scripture. Life is tough. I've said it before. I'll tell you again. And it seems sometimes it can be a little bit unbearable. But folks, I assure you, that God has His people in His hands. Do you agree with that? He's got His people in His hands. God has us covered. Our very survival fully depends upon our faith, our obedient faith unto Him, and in His mighty word. I have to consider what Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says. This is when Jesus was being tempted by the devil himself. And I love the response that He gave to him. He says, but He answered and said, it is man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of who? So please remember that when life delivers you some tough stuff, read and study your Bible, because it reveals to us the solutions of all of life's trouble. Does that make sense to you this morning? So this morning I believe we could talk endless about ways that we can learn to cope with the difficulties that come about. We all need to remember that when we deepen our prayer life, then we're going to draw closer to God. When we associate with other Christians of the household of faith, we can be edified and lifted up as we help them. And we dig deeper into His Word, we can develop a greater trust in our Heavenly Father. The only way that we can build our faith and trust in God is by being in His Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, not 30, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean upon your own what? Understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Look at that one. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And when you do that, the Bible says what, Bobby? Thank you. He shall direct your paths. So when life brings you down, trust in the Lord, and it will make life a lot happier. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. The Bible says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Friends, life can be tough, can it? Amen? But you know what? You too can have victory. And the victory is found when we are holding the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. Be victorious in life. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be a welcome mat where somebody can wipe their feet on them. That's not what that's about. You can be victorious in your walk with Jesus Christ. Will you still have difficulties? Yeah. Will you still have struggles and heartbreaks? Absolutely. But we've got an ally now, don't we? We'll have an ally, God. We've got God who's going to be on our side and is on our side. But you've got to come to Him. I think quite often about Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. When I think about that passage of Scripture, it brings me great comfort. Sometimes I even get chills on my arms and back when I think about it. But then I'm also reminded the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I have to choose Him, don't I? He's already chosen me when He gave His Son for me. But now I've got to choose Him. Will you choose Jesus today? Will you put Christ Jesus on in your life? Will you hear His word? Well, I just gave it to you. Believe and repent and confess your belief in Jesus Christ. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Live faithful unto death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. We have a responsibility to those that are about us. Maybe today you are a Christian, realizing you've wandered from the fold of safety. You need to be restored. You need the prayers of the congregation. You want to make sure that things are right in your relationship with God. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, and encourage you any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come right now together.